Blog Talk Radio. It's time for Peach State Pandemonium, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we discuss the past, present, and future of professional wrestling in Georgia and beyond. We bring you the latest news and upcoming events, and speak to legends, upcoming stars, and key people in between. Now here's your host, Rich Tate.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Peach State Pandemonium. A little bit of excitement this week. Got to go to the NWA event at Phillips Arena this past week. And, of course, we're going to have Larry Goodman calling in a little bit, but we've also got Dan Masters with us, who is our new regular co-host. And, Dan, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good, Rich. You know, the excitement still, even midway through the week from the big show in Atlanta, over 3,000 people. I didn't expect it. I don't think any of us truly expected it to be as successful as it was, but Marquez and the crew did a great job there live.
Yeah, they did, and we're going to definitely touch on it. We're dedicating our first segment to it. As I said, Larry Goodman will be calling in as well. We were all very much involved with that situation down there at Phillips, and basically tonight's lineup, we're going to be talking about that. We got Randy Harris of the Southside Trash coming up at the bottom of the hour, and Bob and Pam Allen. And for anybody that's not familiar with those names, that is the daughter and son-in-law, well, one of the daughters and son-in-law of Gordon Soley, and we're going to have them on just before 10, and they're going to close out the show with us tonight. We will be taking callers for them, so if anybody's got anything they'd like to throw in there for them, the number is 347-324-5735. And we'll also take a caller or two in the first segment tonight when we talk about Phillips. So if you were there Saturday night, feel free to give us a call. Again, that number, 347-324-5735. Dan, how's your car?
Hey, man, you know, that's the thing. Yeah, if anybody's listening in the Georgia area or anywhere else, I'm looking for a car these days. The rental car is excellent. You know, you can't drive a vehicle without air conditioning these days. It's just too hot in the summer heat in Atlanta and Savannah. So I'm looking for something with air conditioning. Got some.
Well, good luck with that. I'm sitting here watching the Cubs kill the Braves. They must be on the road again. It's 5-0 in the third inning.
Non-wrestling related chatter. I was watching the TV Guide channel here because they do the Making News Savannah style. I'm living here in Savannah. It's interesting to watch. One of my ex-girlfriends is on the reality show, I guess is what it's called these days, and it's annoying as hell to see the scrolls, but the show's kind of entertaining, so if you get a chance, check it out next Wednesday before the radio show.
So an ex-girlfriend.
Talking about the reality shows, hi guys.
Hello, Tim.
How about this, Rodney King will appear in the next installment of VH1 Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Oh.
How about that?
Waiting.
King, who made the 1991 beating by a Los Angeles police led to a deadly riot the next year, prompted him to make a famously earnest plea for peace, will appear with actors Jeff Conaway of Taxi fame, former Guns N' Roses drummer Steve Adler, Rod Stewart's son Sean, and actress Tonica Tane. Now, let's just get something straight here. Tonica Tane was in Tom Hanks' greatest movie, The Bachelor, or Bachelor Party, I should say. Without a doubt.
Yeah,
should have got an Academy Award for that.
Yeah, I can't believe he had to wait years for his debut. You know, that and Joe versus the Volcano. You know, Tim, I understand you had some dental work today. You doing all right?
Yeah, so if I'm slurring, just pass the napkin, okay?
Wasn't happy hour, huh?
Well, no. Nobody rearranged the grill. But, and while we're on the celebrity thing, did anybody catch Hulk Hogan last night on Larry King Live? Is anybody feeling any sympathy for Hulk Hogan these days?
You kidding? I'm sure Dan does. Dan's buddies with Hulk.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the Hulkster and Brooke. They both were very friendly to me and always have been. Never had an opportunity to meet Nick or Linda, but listening to the audio on the TMZ-famed website, I can tell you that it's kind of interesting to hear Nick Hogan talking to his father and Carney over the private line that got released to the Internet. So.
You know,
it's a shame.
It's a really sad commentary. It really is. He's going down in flames like he is right now, and that family is just in an absolute shambles. And you know, for obviously you feel sympathy for them because you know you don't know what's going on at the house next door to you. But you know, you feel for celebrities that have to go through this kind of stuff because it is so public. You know, but at the same time, come on, they brought a lot of this stuff on themselves. You know?
Yeah, it's apparently Linda Hogan's new boyfriend allegedly is a 19-year-old Charlie Hill. I'm reading that on the internet now. So these days,
hey,
you can't get anything past anyone.
Well, all right.
Well,
Tim,
I want to touch on a subject I know that's near and dear to your heart. John Smoltz, Tom Glavine.
As bitter a pill as it is at 46 years of age to swallow, man, I remember the day that the trade brought us John Smoltz, and I remember a 20-game loss season by Glavine. There comes a time in every one's life where the torch needs to be passed, and that time's now, in my opinion. And that doesn't say that you've got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not saying that Bobby Cox has to go. Of course, he's signed through next year, and this is a wrestling show. But let me just get up on the table for a second because this is something that's dear and near to my heart. I'd like to just see a dual press conference where we bid adieu, we drowned a tear, and we look at two Hall of Famers go their ways, both who will have Atlanta ties forever and a day. But let me just say this. When Ted Williams batted over 400, I believe it was in 1942,
mm-hmm.
Boston finished second that year. So it's now time, I believe, to get on the bandwagon of Chipper Jones, who is batting 420. And while his plate appearances might be diminished by fewer games played, as long as he plays in the minimum, he's got a great shot at it. And as a matter of fact, guys, if you get a chance, mine came today, and this is a stretch for my radio show, but Sports Illustrated, mine came today. I read a couple of quotes out of it, and I haven't finished digesting the whole thing. But SI sent a reporter who spent the better part of 2 weeks with Chipper monitoring this situation, and as far as the hot corner goes, we have the greatest third baseman to ever play the game, and he happens to be a switch hitter, which makes it even that much more impressive. Chipper Jones' bust should already be cast and be readied in Cooperstown, because whether he hits 400 or not, my friends, he's batting a cool 387 over his last 62 games played.
Well, I'll tell you this, definitely as far as Glavine and Smoltz going into the Hall of Fame, yes, they're going in, and I plan to be there for both of them. So if it can be the same year and save me on this $4 and $5 gas thing, hey, go in the same year. Just you know, I think Glavine only signed through this year, and then it looks like, you know, after the MRI there on Smoltz, it came out worse, I guess, than anybody expected. So, you know, we may have seen the last of him in a Braves uniform, and I hate to say that. But, you know, and as far as Chipper, I think as long as he gets, what is the minimum, 450 at-bats?
Yes.
To qualify for the batting title, you know, hey, as long as he gets that, that's great. You know, do I want him in every game? Yeah, he gives us a great chance to win, but, you know, we're not winning anyway. So, we're hovering around 500, but we don't have a team that's going to compete this year. Now, as I've watched the score now, we're down 7-0 to the Cubs. So,
I believe we've already summoned Charlie Morton. We've
mm-hmm.
already summoned Schaefer.
Yep.
And so
I'm ready
Tahara,
to see what young guys can do.
What we can get for Tahara, and What could you get for Frank Coeur? And by the way, while we're on this subject, Tim Beckham, congratulations. Griffin High School, my alma mater, number one pick in the Major League draft last week. He's a 5'2 guy. Well, the very first thing I say to him is tell your agent, don't allow anybody to call you a 5'2 guy, because 5'2 guys suck. You want to be the best at whatever you want to be best at. Tim Beckham from Griffin, Georgia. All right, guys, I'm going to pull it up, and we're going to look at it right now. Upcoming event tonight. If you're in the vicinity of Auckland, New Zealand, it's World Wrestling Entertainment. Tonight in Auckland, New Zealand. Tomorrow night, Georgia Pro Wrestling Association is in Tipton, Georgia. TNA action will be in the home of the Beatles, Liverpool, in the United Kingdom. That's tomorrow night. And World Entertainment Wrestling will be in Christian Church, New Zealand, tomorrow night. Then on Friday, Great American Wrestling Federation in Blountstown, Florida. Total Nonstop Action will also do a second night in Liverpool. Maybe they can make it to Abbey Lane while they're there. World Wrestling Entertainment will be in Melbourne, Australia. That's on Friday, the luckiest day of the year, Friday the 13th. And then tickets for TNA go on sale for Florence, South Carolina. That event is scheduled for July 26th. Then on Saturday, Great American Wrestling Federation is in Hotsford, Florida. Hey, Squire, you ever been to Hotsford, Florida? They do a great show there.
No, never have. Look forward to seeing it sometime.
NWA Top Rope in Lebanon, Tennessee. Adam Pearce, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, defends against Terry Valiant. Total Nonstop Action. TNA will be in Coventry, United Kingdom. World Wrestling Entertainment in Boise, Idaho. Long trip back there. Oh, wait a minute. That could be the SmackDown crew, because World Entertainment Wrestling or World Wrestling Entertainment will be in Adelaide, Australia on the same night. Tickets for TNA go on sale in Fayetteville, North Carolina on the 25th, on the 27th in Keenansville, on the 12th for Savannah, Georgia. That's WWE as they make their run through the Southeast. On the 13th of July, WWE in Savannah. We'll get to more of these a little later on. Let's keep it on schedule, guys. That baseball talk just ate it up, didn't it?
Hi, this is Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful. I'm listening to Peach State Pandemonium.
Okay, we got Larry Goodman on the line joining us tonight. And, of course, as we said earlier, we're here to talk about the NWA event that was held at Phillips Arena in Atlanta on last Saturday. Larry, since you've joined us, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and give us your thoughts. You were out there the whole night at ringside.
Well, I'm going to, but before we get into that, I want to touch on a couple other things.
Okay.
Just briefly. First, I heard you guys were talking about Hogan earlier. I got to say, I got no sympathy for that family. How stupid can you be?
Oh, come on.
Being exposed for the carnies that they are.
There you go.
That's all I got to say about that. Another thing is I wanted to touch on something that we talked about on our last Saturday show. We had promoter Matt Holder on from New Generation Wrestling. He was promoting Nostalgia Legend shows that coming weekend in Liberty and Anderson, South Carolina. And after the show, it came out that a number of the people he had originally advertised were not there, including Jake Roberts, Greg Valentine, Jimmy Hart, and Stan Lane. And in the case of Lane and Hart, Sal Corrente posted on the Wrestling Riot website that they were false advertised, that Lane never spoke to the promoter at all, and Hart did speak to Matt Holder but never agreed to appear on the show. You know, subsequent to that, I talked to Holder, who claimed that he indeed had confirmed bookings with both of those guys, and that Corrente then called up and claimed to be their agent and blah, blah, blah. The follow-up to that was that Stan Lane wrote into the Wrestling Riot website and then appeared on the radio show confirming that he never spoke to this guy. The guy called him, Matt Holder did, and he never returned his phone calls and never agreed to appear on the show. So live and learn.
What a piece of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Hogan family, that's Larry at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com where you can send those complaints.
Feel free. What a jerk. Holder, the other thing about Holder is he said he was going to get back to me with confirmation from Jimmy Hart that he agreed to appear on the show. That never happened. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. I'm still waiting, Matt, to hear from you.
Oh, so he's a wrestling promoter. Nice to know.
Yeah. So enough of the negative. Let's get on to the Phillips Arena show, which was a really a fine show, I thought. I was just had a great time there. And obviously the fans, the 3,000 people in attendance, seemed to have a very good time with the show. You know, up and down the card, the wrestling was good. The legend people were enjoyed for what they were. I very much enjoyed the Hall of Fame inductions, too. I mean, I don't really have much but good to say about that show last Saturday night at Phillips.
You know, from my perspective, I wasn't at ringside the whole night. I was kind of in and out and front and back and this, that, and the other. But my only problem with the show, essentially, obviously, the biggest major flaw was omitting Flair during the inductions.
Of course.
And of course, we got some audio up that Larry and I did with Robert Trovich following the show. But still, I mean, regardless, you don't forget that. That was a horrible oversight. But as far as the flow of the show went just it was extremely professional in the back. Everybody busted their butts to put on a good show. From what I could tell, the crowd for the majority of the night loved it. I didn't at any point get a sense that the crowd did not like something. I will say this though, Larry. I agree with you when you, I believe it was in your report or maybe it was in one of our off-air conversations, people started to leave during the midnights and the rock and roll match. You know, here's the thing. I don't see that being main event in 2008. If it were 20 years ago, that's a good match to close with. I think they should have had that one maybe a match or two earlier.
Yeah, I agree. The three-way tag would have been a better way to go out with a lot of excitement. And, you know, as I wrote in, I was amazed with the response for Sid Vicious. But, yeah, some people just left and never even saw the Midnights and Rockers. And some really kind of started turning on the match a little bit. I mean, they just wanted more action than what they were getting, and they just didn't appreciate what they were seeing.
Right, and I think, you know, a lot of it, and I think a lot of it is these guys are older now, and maybe a lot of these people just haven't seen these guys in a long time, and it just kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe they were just lost on what to think of these guys because, you know, they remember them 20 years ago.
That was my sense of it, and, you know, the Rich Abbey thing, they got away with it to some extent because of all the blood and brawling outside the ring, and no one else did that all night long. So, you know, and it was interesting, I read on Death Valley Driver Board, somebody writing and saying, you know, hey, you know, the people in my area, they didn't care for that match at all. They weren't into it. And I guess, you know, some of it was at ringside, the people who were there right in front of where they were brawling, they were definitely into it. But maybe from further distance away, it was like,
I talked to Wes a couple nights ago, and he said, you know, Wes Thatcher, of course, he said that, you know, of course he wasn't there, but, you know, he read your report and he listened to what I had to say. And his thing was you don't have somebody interrupt Hall of Fame inductions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what the circumstances are, Abby should not have been out there when Tommy was accepting his honor. And basically, I mean, as far, you know, from my perception, Abby was not doing well that night. He was backstage. He had people checking on him left and right. He was sitting down. He was doubled over. He did not look well. I think he was not up to them having the actual match that they had advertised and planned. And I think for the most part, him going out to ringside or, you know, to interrupt Tommy, I think for the most part that was kind of an off-the-cuff thing. Hey, let's give them a little of what they might have come for and, you know, get this thing over with quickly because, you know, this guy's not – he's obviously not doing well. Now, whether or not that had something to do with maybe the omission of Flair, I don't know. I don't know if they had planned on doing Flair after Tommy Rich, but that would not have made any good sense because he was, of course, not there. Tommy got a huge pop when he was announced. You know, they should have done Flair earlier. The only logical explanation I can come up with them for omitting him was maybe he was supposed to be after Tommy Rich, and when they had to kick the podium out of the ring and this, that, and the other, and Jimmy Cornette has to run backstage to get away from the beat down between Tommy and Abby. You know, at that point, maybe that's the reason, and at least that's the perception I was getting backstage.
And let's give them the benefit of the doubt. If that was the case and then it got messed up because of the impromptu start of Rich and Abby, the only thing that bothers me there is, okay, certainly backstage then there would have been the awareness that, we didn't do Flair, and they could have come back out and done something. to honor him rather than just, you know, dropping it off.
Well, the feeling I got from that and overhearing some conversations in the back after it was, you know, everybody just suddenly realized, oh, you know, crap, we forgot Flair. I think it more or less felt like it was becoming, if you do it outside of the others, does it make it seem more or less important? So, you know, that may have been where they were coming from. Dan, you were there that night. What's your feeling on the show?
Well, I heard their conversation saying I would have thought, you know, maybe they just said it would be better to not induct him or wait until the Virginia show that he's scheduled for. But I did hear him say, oops, we forgot. What do we do? And they decided maybe do it at that Virginia show. But now I'm looking as there are more problems. Apparently Ring of Honor has tried to get Flair for an upcoming show on 8-2. In Manhattan, and that deal didn't go through either, so I guess Flair's having problems getting the WWE to approve of him working other shows. He can't work for the NWA, can't be Ring of Honor. Obviously, he would never be able to do anything with TNA, so I guess that's out of the window completely.
Right. I got word today that apparently he's been pulled from anything that's not a WWE event, so apparently he's not even going to be at the Virginia thing to be honored.
Guys, I just want to, you know, I wasn't there. Y'all know I wasn't there. But your coverage of it was sublime. I thought, I've listened to, and fans, go to the website, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, check out the audio, check out the video with the Squire, check out the three-way anarchy match, which I watched front to back, 17 minutes, and that will give you, I have to be totally upfront about this, how skeptical I was of this. But the camera shoot on the three-way match with Iceberg, Shattered, and
Judah,
and yes, was just awesome. That was it. It's as slick a copy as TNA. It's as slick a copy as WWE. And the participants put on a great match, something that wrestling fans in the state of Georgia could be very proud of. And So, Rich, we talked about all the jokes I was going to try to slip in, and I'm not even going to bother to do that now because y'all did the website, you did yourselves proud, Anarchy did NWA Georgia /Anarchy proud, and the show was a visual success, no doubt about it.
Right, and we've got a caller on the line now. We had asked for callers. I'm not sure who this is, but let's check this out now, and maybe this is a fan that was at the event. Caller from the 678 area code. Are you on the line?
Hey, hello? You there?
Yes. Who
hello?
Are you speaking with? Yeah,
hey, this is Tommy. How are y'all tonight?
We're good. Where are you calling
from? I'm trying to get you on my computer, and I can get y'all on the phone, but I can't get y'all to pull up on the computer for some reason.
Okay. That's not good. Well, what you got for us tonight?
Well, the big question I've got, and it's not probably about the wrestling show that was at Phyllis, but this is one question. You think they are going to come back, but they're going to do it on a smaller level?
Well, Larry and I spoke with Robert Trobich right after the show, and I don't know if you heard that video or not, but he said that should they come back to Phillips? Probably not, or would they? Probably not. Definitely the Atlanta area, definitely Georgia. I think they were very excited. You know, a lot of people have run this event down from the very beginning, saying there's no way they're going to make money. But I got to say this: luxury boxes were filled, and sponsors took care of this show completely. The NWA had nothing to do with it other than bringing the talent there and putting on a show.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And as far as the guys, everybody, you know, did they make money? Did they lose money? I saw everybody in the back get an envelope, and everybody had a smile on their face. But yeah.
Well, my other
– go ahead.
I'm sorry, gosh, I'll keep messing up because I keep draining out from y'all. You know, y'all have heard of Southeastern Championship Wrestling, haven't you, where Abdullah's wrestled there and Tommy Rich and
– Southern Extreme over in Carrollton?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Are they going to be doing any more shows? Because lately I haven't been seeing them do anything because I live in Billerica, Georgia, and they used to do it right next to the bar.
It was fun
on Sunday nights.
Right. As a matter of fact, I think they've had to hold up with the VFW out there because of kind of fair season and this, that, and the other. We did post a story earlier this afternoon. They and Power Pro Wrestling are teaming up to run a show out in Bremen, so you should be able to check that out. It's this Sunday, as a matter of fact.
Hey, but I just want to mention, if this is Dan Masters, if you live in Villarica, there is a show coming up. a great championship wrestling show in Villarica on the 28th.
Right.
They're doing it in the parking lot at Johnny's Pizza, I think.
Yeah. I can't remember all the details on that, but they are definitely coming up. Hey, we appreciate
Johnny Slinger against Mike Taylor and Crew Jones against J-Rod. Two of matches scheduled for that show in Villarica.
Well, listen, love y'all's show, and thanks for doing this.
All right, thanks.
All right, we'll check out that show right there at the pizza place on the 28th.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right. So anyway, the NWA show, I kind of would have loved to have heard another perspective from somebody. If you were at that show, please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Dan, you got a lot of stuff backstage there that was good stuff. We got more video coming?
Yeah, I've got Jerry Jarrett, which will be up tomorrow before I leave for Tifton, Georgia, tomorrow night, Tifton, Georgia. Cheap plug there for that show in Tifton. I will get Sid Vicious up tomorrow before I leave. Sid, I wanted to get your opinions on Sid as well as Larry. His style in the ring, obviously stiff as ever. Well, how did you feel about Sid?
Larry, you go ahead.
I thought he was gave them everything that anybody could have expected. I mean, he destroyed those guys, which is exactly what I think they wanted him to do in that spot. And I think the fans were very well satisfied. And the whole bit that they did with him destroying the guys on the stretcher, that got over great, I thought. So, I mean, I thought he delivered everything they could have wanted him to deliver.
Right. I was out there when he was first introduced and just right outside the entrance there, and the crowd just went nuts. I've never really been a big Sid Vicious fan. I never thought he was that great in the ring. But can he entertain? Obviously. The crowd loved him, and as Larry said, he did his job.
Yeah. And, these days, a lot of guys have a hard time, I think, that are on the WWE or TNA understanding how wrestling is done. And chatting with Sid in the back off camera, he really knows what needs to be done. Unfortunately, with his personal character and camera appeal, I think he needs a manager. He stumbled a few times on promos, but, I guess that comes with it. And after searching on YouTube and watching some of his older stuff, I see that's something that he's always had an issue with, but he was a nice guy in person, and he definitely lived up to his expectations. So I would hate to have been his opponent on Saturday or Sunday, the day after.
Yeah. A lot of people have ripped on the show because, they're saying, well, it's the biggest, the NWA show or the biggest NWA show of the year. And, somebody actually said somewhere on one of the message boards, this was supposed to be their WrestleMania. Hey, if you've listened to our show, or read anything that we've written from those guys, David Marquez said all along, this escalated. This was just supposed to be another taping.
Yeah, this was a NWA showcase taping.
The only reason this became so big was because the internet jumped all over it.
Right, and Tim Dex hit the nail on the head. It's a show that they do and they put on in different cities that they know going in they're going to make money. It's like Disney on Ice. And then David agreed with them. He said that's exactly what they're doing.
Right.
They were farming fertile ground, though, when they came to Atlanta, Georgia, because everybody, we all know that this is the mecca of the NWA. I mean, if it's not Charlotte, North Carolina, it is Atlanta, Georgia. If it's not Tampa, Florida, it's Atlanta, Georgia. If it's not St. Louis, it's Atlanta, Georgia. So, just by saying they were going to do this in the Empire City of the South, that made it news, and it was going to be scrutinized.
Right. Well, Larry, we definitely appreciate you calling in. We know you've done a lot of stuff this week with the Anarchy Fan Fest and being on the air each night to get those recorded and available to everybody. And, of course, the last installment of that went up last night. And just to tease something, I will be working on your behalf doing the Gary Valiant segment, if you want to just kind of tease that for a second before we let you go.
Yeah, the NWA Top Rope show this Saturday has five – this is in Lebanon, Tennessee. It's their third anniversary show. They got five title matches, including Boogie Woogie Boy Gary Valiant going up against Adam Pearce for the NWA World title. And I got about – 15 minutes with Gary Valiant backstage at Phillips, and we're going to put that up. I guess you're going to put that up either tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah, it should be up definitely by I believe it's going to be Friday. I think I'm going to work on that probably tomorrow night. Well, Larry, definitely thanks for calling in and sharing your insight
sure.
on that. You're
welcome. One last thing I want to say is the NWA has nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to the actual quality of the in-ring wrestling that they put on that show.
It
was very good. Yeah, thanks a lot.
It's always good to see you in person.
See you later.
Take care, Larry.
Bye.
All right, Tim, let's pick up where we left off on the upcoming event.
Well, I'll try to do it a little bit better. We're going to start with tomorrow night being Thursday, June the 12th. Georgia Pro Wrestling Association will be in Tifton, Georgia. The young squire, Daniel Masters, will be there as well. Tuttle Nonstop Wrestling is in Liverpool, United Kingdom. The UK sees TNA. World Wrestling Entertainment will be in Christchurch, New Zealand. All that tomorrow, Thursday, June the 12th. Then on Friday, the luckiest day of the year, Friday the 13th, Great American Wrestling Federation in Blountstown, Florida. TNA will be in Liverpool in the UK, and the World Wrestling Entertainment will be in Melbourne, Florida. Melbourne, Australia, I should say. Then on Saturday, on June 14th, Great American Wrestling Federation in Houston, Florida. NWA Top Rope will be in Lebanon, Tennessee. As Larry Human said, the NWA Heavyweight Champion of the World, Adam Pearce, will defend against Gary Valiant. Total Nonstop Action continues its UK tour as they will be in Coventry, and the WWE will be in Boise, Idaho, and in Adelaide, Australia on Saturday. Sunday, SECW/PPW will be in Bremen, Georgia. TNA will be in Exus in the UK. WWE will be in Ogden, Utah, as well as Sydney, Australia. That's coming up on Sunday, and then on Monday, WWE will be in Salt Lake City, Utah, and in Newcastle, Australia. Tuesday, the WWE is in Brisbane, Australia, and I believe that wraps up their Australian tour as they head back to the United States. Guys, back to you.
Rob Conway, and you're listening to Peach State Pandemonium.
Okay, we're back, and we're bringing up Randy Harris from the Southside Trash, going to join us here, get a little insight from him. Randy, you on the line?
What's up, dudes? How's it going?
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Doing pretty good.
Doing well, Randy.
Hey,
Tim Dick's here.
That was Dan telling you hello.
What's up, Dan? How's it going?
Hello, Dan.
Hello.
All right.
Well, it was me. It was Tim. I was just jumping on, waiting on Tim to jump in and say, no, it wasn't Dan. That was Tim Dick saying hello to you, too. But anyway, hello to everybody.
Yeah, I'm here, Randy. We'll talk in just a minute.
All right. Randy, let's talk about what's the latest with primetime wrestling out there in Manchester.
Primetime Wrestling. We're going to run a show. It'll be the 21st of this month. That's all I can say right now. Oh, yeah, Billy Roper's looking for us a building in Columbus. He may have one on Macon Road. I think that's what it is. Some Gooseby Supermarket. Oh, Gooseby Supermarket.
Okay, well, we'll definitely keep us posted on that, and we'll post all the announcements for you guys and get it out there so all the fans can know about it.
Great.
What about long-term plans for primetime? This seemed to just kind of come out of nowhere. Is this definitely a long-time or a long-term plan?
That's the plans. The plans are for long-term. Every other week, starting off in every week. Once we get to building in Columbus, it'll be every week.
Okay.
That's the last word I got from Mr. Roper.
Well, speaking of Columbus, obviously we spoke about it briefly a couple weeks back, but you and Dwayne Bell. Obviously, Dwayne worked his big daddy with the Southside Trash. You guys kind of had a little split, I guess, at least business-wise, with him still running the Independent Wrestling Network out of Columbus, and now you with Prime Time. Now, I understand you were booking for both promotions, and at this point you're also and were wrestling for both, and now you're just strictly with Prime Time and not IWN. Is there anything you can tell the fans about, you know, why this decision was made? And, you know, are you guys still friends? What's, you know, is it all just professional?
Yeah, me and Big Daddy are still friends. We're the best of friends, and it's just business. He didn't like the way I'd done things. I liked the way he'd done things, and we'd come to an agreement. You know, I'd go my way, go his way. Danny B, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man, you know, everything is good.
And for those that don't know, Dan Masters has pretty much been with the Southside Trash for many years. He used to actually work as their manager under the moniker Danny V. And,
Danny V. Rhodes, get it right. There you go.
Yeah, well,
yeah, Danny V. Rhodes.
I've seen Danny V. Stripped down to his underwear in Carrollton, so that pretty much...
Many times. Hey, Randy, if Dwayne isn't out there pushing a wheelchair tonight, I want him to call in and say hey to us, but one thing the fans don't know, but Dwayne Bell has a collection of wheelchairs, yet no one in his family is handicapped. I don't know how that happens. But. Anyway, Randy, pushing back, how did you get started in wrestling? How old were you? Where did you start, and who was it with?
Oh, well, now, that brings up me, but go ahead, Randy, let's talk about that, because I talked with Rich earlier tonight and wanted to talk about that. I want to talk about, everybody says, you know, all the people that came from Omega, you know, and yeah, they all exceeded the class that we started out with, but the class we started out wasn't too bad a bunch, was it?
No, it's a great bunch. You're talking about Billy Black and who was it, Wild Bill Smith?
Wild Bill Smith,
yeah.
Dwayne Bruce, who became Sarge.
Dwayne Bruce, that's right. Who else?
Mike Winters, who
absolutely
went on to train at the power plant.
There you go. We had a good bunch of guys.
Yes, we did, and Dwayne Bell. You know, I was watching this show on cable TV in Griffin, Georgia, and I said, you know, I can do that. And these guys were already there, and every Thursday night we all got together and did a live television show, and
yes,
then
did.
On Friday nights we did a show at the Griffin Armory, and Troy Aldridge, I remember him. He was a great job guy at WCW.
That's right.
And,
he broke my nose tonight.
A great Troy Aldridge story, guys, real quick, and Randy, and then we're here to interview you, and I'm not going to talk about this, but Fred Avery, who trained Sugar Ray Lloyd, he would bring these guys up from Valdosta, but Troy Aldridge, all he wanted to do was raise enough money to buy a bass boat, and so he was doing jobs on Saturday morning at the Peachtree Studios and worked a tag match against the Samoan SWAT team with Paulie. And took the pineapple in the face.
I remember that.
It was just, what a tattoo for a bass boat. But, all right, let's talk amongst ourselves here. I'm feeling verklempt.
Oh, I was going to let Dan run with this one.
Oh, goodness. Well,
Dan's the one with the history on the trash. I will say this, though, before I hand over the wheel. You know, Randy, you're no different. We had Dwayne on a few weeks back, and I told him, so, you know, I'm definitely not going to short you on compliments here. Anybody that hasn't seen the Southside Trash doesn't know what they're missing. You guys are the best tag team anywhere. That includes the big leagues, man. You guys are the most entertaining tag team I've seen in this generation.
Coming from y'all, that's a great honor, because y'all guys are good at what y'all do, and I really appreciate
it. That was Rich. That was, don't say y'all. I didn't compliment
and
anybody.
You know you mean that.
I know. Seriously.
Well, let me just say one other thing. Jack Poor, which was one of the guys that really Randy and I cut our eye teeth on, and you would know Jack Poor's name probably from a hill of beans, but he was just another jobber that worked on Saturdays, putting over the name talent. He was a policeman with, I believe, in Forest Park. Randy, was that right, or Riverdale or somewhere like that?
He was a fireman from Griffin, Georgia, I think he was.
But he was a great shot caller. And I think one of the things about Randy Harris that is so underrated is that he's a good shot caller in the back. We talk about Ted Allen, but Randy Harris is in that same vein. You're a good shot caller, man. I sure appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, I don't care whether it's David Parrish, Dwayne Bell, or Tommy Pitts tagging with you. You're obviously the guy that makes the tag team the Southside Trash. Where does it go from here? Any retirement anytime soon? Obviously, prime time wrestling. But are you going anywhere else? Are you doing anything else? What are you concentrating on? Your personal life? All that stuff.
Right.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. I just go concentrate on wrestling, and you know I'm gonna do what I can do and wrestle when I can wrestle. I wrestle. I'm 80 years old. You know, be right beside me and Bullet Bob, be tag team partners probably for long. But I just want to do it until I can't do it anymore because I love the sport. I really do, and I love to entertain people. And I really,
it's all about the entertaining aspect. And making it real and that old-school approach that you perform every time you go out there. Over all the things that you've done, I mean, working, you know, so many places and doing so many things, one thing sticks out in my mind of your career is pinning Dusty Rhodes in your hometown. Only one guy had done that 5 years prior. That's Steve Corino. How did you feel that night pinning him, and did you know it was going to happen when it happened?
No, I didn't know it was going to happen until you told me it was going to happen. Remember, you was my manager.
But in all seriousness, no one knew that the Dream was going to lay down, and you pinned him, and the referee, Jimmy Rivers, counted.
Right. I did not know, and I was really shocked, and I thanked the Dream when he done it for me, and I really did. And he hugged my neck, told me that I deserved it, and it really was an honor. It really was. And I really appreciate it. And speaking of shot calling, I learned a lot from Dusty Rhodes when I worked for TCW because he would take me to the side. What thing about this Randall? He always called me Randall. Until Danny V got me fired. I don't know what he called me then. But
well, that's every territory we ever worked.
Yeah, and he did. He taught me a lot. He's a good guy. He really is. He sure is. And I could get Danny V to tell you about the time he had to do a saddle match in Carrollton.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, we're not getting into that. There's still pictures floating around. But, no, that was something that shocked me. And I think it really says a lot as a person. I mean, over 5 years, nobody pins Dusty Rhodes except Steve Corino. Then one night in your own hometown, out of the blue, he just lays down and you pin him. And,
yeah,
you know, that says something for somebody's credibility.
Yeah, that and I was really honored. I still think about that to this day. It was really an honor. It really was. That's the most fun I've ever had in wrestling, working with DCW.
Wow.
Great bunch of guys.
Randy, can you tell us about the experience now, you know, talking about Columbus and you guys wanting to endeavor there with the primetime wrestling. Obviously, many promotions have come and gone into Columbus. Jim Anthony's run some, John Golden, Cody Jernigan, all these promotions over the last 10 years and living there. I've seen them all. One that we were involved in together, I didn't manage you guys there, but Jerry Oates ran GCW before it turned into Great Championship and got in the door there, and they were big fans of you guys. And now, Jerry Oates wasn't a fan of all the comedic stuff that the Southside Trash did, but the Hugheses, who are still running in Phoenix City today, were fans at one point. Talk a little bit about that.
Jerry Oates never done me wrong. He was a good guy. He treated us right, and yeah, he told me he didn't like the comedian, but he liked us. I don't know what about us he liked, but he liked us, and he let us keep doing it, and then you got me fired. And
oh, God, come on.
He did. Danny V got me fired all the time.
From every promotion, right?
I mean, that's am I right, Danny V? You got me fired?
No. Yeah. That wasn't me. Oh, man, all the heat always comes down on Dan Masters. But, so what do you think about GCW and the Hugheses? Diane says she's going to run till she's dead, and then someone else will keep it going.
I really hope they do. I have no problem with GCW. I wouldn't mind working for them, but I like to work for other people as well, not just one promotion all the time.
And that's like one thing that they have been accused for in the past,
right,
is holding
absolutely
their guys to working just for them. That's one thing about the IWN I noticed. Is they are fine with everyone working for everybody. Even Dwayne Bell said that, you know, exclusive in the wrestling business means you're with WWE. I mean, TNA, NWA, all these other groups, you can work for anyone you want to.
Absolutely. I think it betters you if you go out and work other people instead of working the same guys every single week. You got to better yourself.
I'd like to say something to that point, though, and I didn't respond to this when Dwayne said that, you know, with us on the show, but and this is not, you know, behind Dwayne's back. I'd tell him this in a day, but I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to bring it up. We were about to wrap up a segment, but, you know, I can see where GCW wouldn't want to send their talent 15 miles away, because if Dwayne Bell's booking the same talent in Columbus than some that they're booking in Phoenix City, you know, let's face it, if so-and-so's wrestling on Thursday night in Phoenix City and it costs $10 to get in, Dwayne Bell goes and undercuts them and does the same match, $9 in Phoenix City, and you got some guy sitting right in the middle, right on the river, and he's only got $10 to spend, he's going to go spend $9 and keep the dollar. You know, that makes perfect sense, that they would not want to work with a cross-town promotion, which that is essentially what that is. I mean, that's a Twin City of, you know, set up down there. As far as working, you know, Valdosta, Carrollton, this, that, and the other, that's another thing.
I'm not sure people understand this about Columbus and Phoenix City, but oddly enough, people don't cross. Many people don't cross over. That's one thing they learned when they went from Columbus to Phoenix City. Fans don't cross that bridge very often. Sure, Matt too, and a few others, but the majority of the crowd is going to be Columbus people. They're not going to make that trip. Oh, sure, it's 5 miles, but for some odd reason, they don't do it.
I guess that's just Georgia. But I think one thing also with IWN, and I'm like I'm saying, I told Dwayne the same thing, is he did try to undercut GCW at times. He did. He went out and got AJ Steele, which I was totally against. I like AJ Steele, don't get me wrong, but I didn't think it was right because, like Rich said, it's right across the street. And you know, I don't know. There's some things he done I didn't agree with, and some things I said to him he didn't agree with, and that's only part of business ways.
Let me ask you this, Randy. You're talking about you guys starting to run down in Columbus too. I mean, that's a trio of promotions. Is the talent just going to run dry at some point in that area if everybody's not sharing talent?
I don't think IWN. I think they're done.
You think
I think they're done.
Well, they didn't run last Friday. I don't think they ran the Friday before. And as far as this Friday goes, I had a couple of calls today from guys asking me if I was going to be there. And I said, well, I don't know if there's going to be a show. I can't get in touch with Dwayne Bell for comments. So.
Well, we'll definitely have to get on that tomorrow, because last I heard was originally a date. I believe it was for this Friday.
Yes,
and obviously
this Friday. In the last time,
probably my throat. But you know, I had heard for this Friday, and then I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, I heard I heard today that they think the show's, they think IWN is about done.
Okay.
Randy, you like Dwayne personally.
Yes.
Y'all differ business wise. We've both worked shows for Dwayne. And it's always the sky and the moon, but 3 weeks in, here we are where Dwayne Bell's promotion is, you know, where it is today.
Absolutely.
I'm not being critical, but it's always the best thing since sliced bread when it starts, but then it peters out very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always another town. And,
there you go.
Dwayne Bell will find it, and he will market it, and it will be, you know, the next coming.
Well, two close brothers of mine in the wrestling business, Burt Prentice and Dwayne Bell, and I love each of them forever, and I'm proud of both of them and all the success that they've had and will have and will continue to have, because they're never going to stop running wrestling shows, and I credit them with that.
One major difference between the two, I've never seen, and I will go on record right now, Dwayne Bell sell mystery wrestling bags during an intermission. But I can test to seeing Prentice's mystery wrestling bags at intermission.
$1 will get you a raffle ticket.
And on that note, Randy, unfortunately we are out of time, but we thank you for coming on tonight. And wish
I
sure
appreciate it.
Continue.
Randy,
man,
good
to
talk to you, pal. Thank you, Randy.
That? I appreciate y'all, guys.
All right,
thank
man.
Thank you.
We'll have you back on soon. Good luck with prime time. Keep it going.
Thanks,
right,
guys.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Primetime Wrestling. Check it out in Manchester, Georgia. The info and details, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
He's really one of the good guys, y'all.
Yeah,
always has been from day one.
Yep.
You know, count the lights with the best of them, with no apologies, and it was be more just like it. All right, let's take a look at it one more time tomorrow night. Georgia Pro Wrestling Association will be in Tipton, Georgia, with the Young Squire, Dan Masters, making an appearance. TNA will be in Liverpool, in the UK. Get some feedback back there, but we'll just continue on. In Christchurch, New Zealand, World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE in New Zealand. Then on the latest day of the year, Friday the 13th, Great American Wrestling Federation in Blountstown, Florida. TNA will be in Liverpool in the UK. And WWE will be in Melbourne, Australia. Saturday, June 14th, Great American Wrestling Federation will be in Hosted, Florida. NWA Top Rope will be in Lebanon, Tennessee, as the NWA Swiss Champion of the World, Adam Pearce, appears against Jerry Valiant. TNA will be in Coventry in the UK. WWE will do a double shot in Boise, Idaho, and in Allen Lane, Australia. And I have butchered that every time I've tried it tonight. Sunday, CCW and PPW will be in Freeman, Georgia. TNA action will be in the UK and WWE Entertainment in Ogden, Utah, and also in Sydney, Australia. And on Monday, WWE Wrestling Entertainment will be in Salt Lake City. I do believe that is for Raw. They'll also be in Newcastle, Australia. That's coming up on June 16th. On Tuesday, June 17th, the WWE will be in Brisbane, Australia before making their successful return back to the great old U.S. of A. All right, guys, back to y'all.
This is the Universal Soldier, Phil Shatter. You listen to Peach State Pandemonium right here in Georgia.
Yeah, beat that music.
Ba, 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 ba. All
yes,
right,
the wave curling.
Our guests aren't yet on the line, so you had some major echo going on there.
Yeah, I don't know where that was coming from, and I don't know if you heard me say that was coming. It's not coming in from my end, I can tell you that.
Hmm. Are you picking that up on your end, Dan?
Well, I will have to get our engineers to look into it and correct the problem by next week. I don't know where it's coming from. But
yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk about before the Solis come on board with us is the TNA obviously had a pay-per-view. I say the TNA. TNA Wrestling had a pay-per-view. And one of our Georgia, one of my friends in the industry here in Georgia that worked with me over at Deep South Wrestling, Nigel Sherrod, was there as Elvis. Apparently Elvis was alive and well on Sunday for the TNA pay-per-view there in Mississippi.
Yeah, I definitely remember reading that, and unfortunately we didn't get that information that it was him in time for the report. I wish he'd let us known he was going to be doing that.
I couldn't let you know ahead of time, of course, but
he could let us know. He knows it's off the record. did you guys catch the fact that Brian Danielson worked a dark match for WWE the other night?
I did. I saw where that happened, and it was persona non grata with ROH.
Yeah, I believe he's. I read maybe on the Observer that he was going to be, I believe, basing himself out of Mexico this summer. So
he's going to be based out of Mexico City.
Yep. Well, anybody got anything they want to talk about while we wait?
Oh, what else happened on TNA the other night? I mean, was it a successful pay-per-view? A line of predictions said that Jeff Jarrett would be re-debuting on television. That did not happen. It's been some time since Jeff has appeared on the show, actually. I asked Jerry Jarrett, who started TNA the other night, if he was keeping up with the product. Not so much. So, I don't know if it's time for Jeff Jarrett to come back. I'm a fan of his. I know there aren't many fans of Jeff Jarrett, but overall, I think the pay-per-view was up to par, at least.
I'm looking forward to seeing the if you've got it up, I'll check it out on the website, but I haven't had an opportunity yet to see the interview you did conduct with one of the absolute pillars, I mean, on the Vince McMahon scale of this industry, Jerry Jarrett.
It's coming up tomorrow, Tim.
And so that will be on tomorrow. And for fans that are just listening, let me tell you, when Vince McMahon went to trial on steroid charges back in the early 90s, he was set just to give the reins to this gentleman. That's how well-respected he is. And I'm looking forward to that. And again, guys, y'all just did a hell of a job covering the NWA at Phillips. And
well, we couldn't have done it without David Marquez and allowing us to be a part of every inch of that building. I mean, he went over and above and beyond to let us know that it was okay to do whatever we wanted to do and invite us into the promo room. And he was just very open with us, and everyone at the NWA was gracious with their time, and it was really an honor to be there.
Yeah, him and Robert Trobich definitely above and beyond and very helpful to us. As a matter of fact, they even made sure they got a plug-in for us right at the beginning of the Hall of Fame inductions. That was pretty cool. I believe we've got the Solis on the line now. Bob and Pam, is that you?
Absolutely.
You're with us.
Here.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
I believe you can hear us there when you're on hold, and you might have caught us talking a little bit about the NWA event the other night. Of course, we met finally face-to-face after years of emails and message board discussions. What did you guys think of the show the other night?
You want to go first, Pam?
No, go ahead.
I thought it was a ball, actually. It was really cool. I had the same thing of meeting you and Dan and John, or Larry. I'd never met David Marquez. We talked on the phone. We had email back and forth for years. But my biggest kick for the night was the fans were really into the show. The young guys worked their absolute butts off. And to see, to stand back there and talk to Sid Vicious and talk to Jim Cornette, talk to guys from the Rock and Roll Express, I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. Where were you guys at during the night? Because I know you were down front before the event. I know that you guys, I believe, headed upstairs. Did you end up in a luxury box or
No, we
something
actually
nice like that?
We were down on the floor on the you know where the guys came in on the entrance ramp, made their entrance to the ring, just on a kitty corner from that, straight ahead. We were on the other side in about the fourth row.
Okay.
So we were close. We watched. Yeah.
Well, you know, just to clarify again, we are on the line with Bob and Pam Allen. Pam, of course, daughter of the late great Dean of Wrestling Commentators, Gordon Solie. Guys, first of all, you know, we want to say congratulations to you guys and the entire Solie family on Gordon being recognized by the World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Fame earlier this year.
Thank you.
And if you could, if one of you could or wouldn't mind, just describe that weekend and how WrestleMania weekend is rolled out, because we know it's just smack full of events, and it's having some conversations with some people during that week when we were getting ready for our Gary Hart show, dealing with Jim Ross and Michael Hayes specifically. We know it was a crazy, chaotic time for them. Is it as chaotic as it seems?
It's very well planned. They're very organized. It was probably the best experience of my life. I mean, it's something you will never forget. And the people were... they bent over backwards. We were part of the family, and that was something they really wanted to stress, is that we were part of the WWE family, and it wasn't just for that weekend type thing. I mean, I was teasing Howard. Howard Finkel was the greatest teacher and guide that we had. I mean, he had everything planned out, and expectations were high, and they were met.
We came in on a Thursday night, and I'll never forget, just walking in the hotel, there's Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin just sitting there shooting the breeze. We went into this room. We're supposed to check in, and there's Mark Henry playing with his little boy. We took, like, a back way to get up and go to our room, and we walked into Dusty Rhodes and his wife, Michelle, and he shook my hand and gave Pam a big hug. We go up to put our key in the room, and Pam says, "I'm sticking the key in the door." She goes, "That's the Big Show." So we walked about four doors down, and we sat there in the hallway and talked to the Big Show for, like, 15 minutes. I mean, these people were very laid back, very cool. Everywhere you went, there's somebody to talk to. That night we ran into Jim Ross and his wife Jan. We saw Jack Briscoe come in and his wife Jan, and saw Brian Blair, some of the guys that we'd known in the past. Jim Ross and I have emailed for years. I'd never met him, but it was old home week for some of the other guys. Harley Race, got to see him and his wife again. So everywhere you go, everywhere you'd go in the hotel, because we were staying at the same place they were, you'd see the stars. There's Tori Wilson. There's getting on the elevator with Maria and right up and down. I mean, it was pretty wild. But, yes, they are highly, highly organized because there's Kathy and Ann and another lady in this room, and they run everything along with Howard. And you know what time – Pam knew what time she'd have to go over to the Amway Arena on Saturday. She had to go to rehearsals, so I was hanging out at the hotel. We sat there and spent a lot of time with Rocky Johnson, his wife Sheila. They're like super couple. We're pals now. We've talked on the phone since and emailed, and we never met them before. But they had like buses and buses to send out reporters to get us over to Amway Arena. I don't know how many were, six or seven buses. They closed down I-4 in Florida. And one there's police escort all the way. And we got to the Amway Arena and walked in. All the stars were there already. The guys are in tuxes. The women are in evening wear. Again, Pam was backstage. She'll have to tell you about that. And when I go in, there's everybody. I walked over and talking to William Regal. Walked over and talking to Randy Orton. And you just bump into them. And they had a buffet there and stuffed us. They had a leg of lamb and different things in there. And that was just before anything really started yet. And
one thing you mentioned... to catch on. One thing you mentioned about the hotel I found interesting, this thing was exclusive to you guys pretty much. I mean, they had the entire hotel reserved for WWE guests. I couldn't even make my way in the door, and I had to deliver stuff over there. So
it was on lockdown. We were on lockdown from Friday morning, I believe, until was it Sunday night or Monday morning?
Friday,
no one could get in.
Friday at noon until Monday at noon, unless you had credentials or a room key, you're not getting in.
The entire hotel booked for one company, and it's a huge hotel at that.
Yes, it is.
and they had to do that because last year, I guess they were in Detroit, and they were overrun with fans. The guys had no privacy. They couldn't go anywhere without being mobbed. But even for the guests there, you'd see them stopping everywhere. You know, I saw Mick Foley, and I had on Saturday before we went to the Amway Arena, my son Ryan was there, and one of our friends, Jerry. And he said, "Hey, Mick, can you take a picture of my son and this guy?" And he goes, "Oh, absolutely," you know, and they'd all do that.
They're all very accommodating. I mean, no egos. I mean, they're
walk over and say hi to Ric Flair. Walk over and say hello to John Cena. You know what I mean? It was unbelievable.
Wow, that just sounds like just an incredible weekend for you guys.
Well, there's one thing that sticks out in my mind, and then I go back to being a little kid, and if anybody remembers and I hate to put it in defining it this way, but when the circus came to town when I was a kid, I mean, and they still do it in St. Petersburg, and they'll have the circus parade where all the performers come in, and it's just going to announce the circus.
Mm-hmm.
And we were standing outside of the Amway Arena because we got there before all of the wrestlers got there and before the families got there. And we're standing out there, and the buses pull up, and the wrestlers get off, and they're in their tuxes. The guys are in their tuxes, and I believe Michael Johnson was in a white tux. Am I correct, Bob? Michael Hayes.
Yes, it was white tux and white hat.
White hat, and the ladies were in the gowns, and it was just, I turned around to the person sitting next to me, and I said, "I feel like I'm at the greatest show on earth. I mean, this is the parade." And it was magnificent. But no one had an ego. And we were all standing in this hallway going down for the buffet. And, I mean, you're shoulder to shoulder with they're just people. They're excellent. I was impressed, very impressed.
Sounds like a great time for you guys. And it had to be a very emotional time for you as well, you know, just knowing that your father was finally being recognized, of course, you know, by WWE. What does that mean to you, to know that, you know, he's been bestowed such an honor?
Recognition by his peers. I think Dad was not one to have a lot of words. He was when it came to accolades. He had trouble, you know, it was like, whoa, do I really deserve that, you know? And he would be very humble, extremely humble. He would have been proud, but, I mean, it's humble at the same time. He probably would have stood there and said thank you with a very shaky voice, which a lot of people would find hard to believe.
One of the things that's cool and really struck me, we'd gone to the Tampa Wrestling Reunion in 2005, and then this celebration is the sheer reverence in which they talk about Gordon. I mean, if you talk to Gene Okerlund or Jim Ross, you talk to Ric Flair, I mean, these guys like melt and just it's like love pouring out of their hearts when they're talking about Gordon. They just don't say anything bad about him. They've all got their own story. A lot of them will tell you, well, he helped me when I started announcing, helped me when I started wrestling, helped me when I started reporting. Mm-hmm. And I think the sheer output of emotion probably touched me more than anything else, just
mm-hmm.
everybody's kindness when they talk about Gordon.
Mm-hmm. And people with tears in their eyes to this day. I mean, it's amazing. It was Triple H said something to me. He says, your dad gave me my first interview. I mean, I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, it's very touching. And he would have been shaken by it a little bit. I mean, it would have taken him back. And it was wild to stand on the stage, let me tell you. I mean, because we were just basically representing him. I mean, I know he was there, and I'm sure he was, you know, toasting a few to all of the ones that were there. And to see Eddie go in at the same time, and that meant a lot. That meant a lot to me also. That was real touching.
And there's humorous times. I mean, you haven't lived until you've been in the lobby of a hotel and watched Tony Atlas do his Sheck impersonation for a little boy. The man is wild. He got a standing ovation from everybody in the lobby.
People stopped.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They stopped wherever they just stood there and watched.
Oh, just crazy times. But and then the production itself, when we got to the Amway Arena after we ate, they put us in, they showed us to our seats, and my son and I and some of the other family members were in the second row. And then when this thing started, to see The Rock come out, and we're in the second row, and he's hilarious on the show. I mean, he's just a great entertainer all the way around. And the cheers coming from the crowd, one more match, one more match, one more match. I want to get him back, you know. And that went on for 10 or 15 minutes.
Wow.
They just kept going. And he'd say a comment, and then he'd come back. I mean, it was an absolute riot. But like I said, the production that night and on Sunday at WrestleMania itself, their sound, their lighting, everything. It's just, if you can hit the best production crews in the world, probably work for World Wrestling Entertainment. They're outstanding.
Well, you know, of course, Dan Masters and Tim Dix are with us here as well, our co-host, and they're both wrestling announcers from TV and radio side of the business, so I'm sure they'd like to talk to you guys a little bit as well. I've got kind of a switchboard issue here, so I'm going to hand it over to them and make sure. Hopefully we don't get cut off here. If we do, obviously I think that might be the end of the show, but we definitely have you back again. So my apologies if we get cut off, but I'm going to hand it over to you guys and try to carry on here.
Thanks, Rich.
All right.
Okay, well, I'll jump in. It's Dan here. It was very, again, nice meeting you guys in Atlanta. One thing I was going to ask is this, you know, was this, I guess it was the first time that you guys have experienced the WWE live, or?
Yes, sir.
It was.
Watched it on television.
Well, what took so long?
Actually, that's not true. St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Tampa, they gave Dad an achievement, like a lifetime achievement award, and the family attended with him. And, in fact, I had the pleasure of running into one of my own students at the time, a seventh grader who had Austin 316 painted on his chest with shoe polish. And, of course, I had my dad next to me, and I'm like, Chris, what are you doing here? And he rips his shirt open, and he's got this. He goes, look, miss. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. My dad loved it, you know, of course. But that was limited. This was totally different. This was
right.
Totally different. I mean, from what my impression watching it on television and, you know, you're not always agreeing with some of the storylines and how far they do take things, I was able to see Vince McMahon on a totally different plane. And you talk about professional. This man is a total professional back there. He's a workaholic. and he's very kind and courteous, and never did I see any other side of him, and very soft-spoken. He directed us on, you know, as far as like giving the direction on how he wanted everybody to come out and where to stand and that kind of thing, but just a total professional, and it changed my opinion because now I look at it from a different angle, from a production angle, and it's quite amazing. It really is.
You mentioned possibly not agreeing with all the storylines and things that you see on TV. How do you feel like, you know, obviously growing up in that old school atmosphere, and how do you feel that your dad would see the WWE, or not just the WWE, but the business as it is today?
It changed.
Yeah.
What happened Saturday night in Atlanta, my dad would have been right there, I mean, hanging on everything that went down. Because there was a lot of old school wrestling that went on.
Right.
You know, and that's what he looked for. I mean, he had some problems with some of the matches when they did the crucifixions and stuff like that. That bothered him, and he thought that they were very good gymnasts. I mean, he thought it became more gymnastics than wrestling.
He was even back when Nitro and Raw were having the Monday Night Wars. Gordon thought it was great for the business because at the time I think there was like 2.5 or 3 million people which would watch Raw on a Monday night. When Nitro came on, those numbers went up to like 5 million. So he thought overall it was good for the professional wrestling industry because the two shows were going together and Nitro ran a repeat later that night. They had like over 5 million people all of a sudden on Monday night, which were they were watching professional wrestling. So that he was very much in favor of.
One thing I was going to ask you guys about also is as far as Saturday night goes, there was speculation early that they may do some type of tribute or something in regards to WTBS and mention Gordon. And I guess that fell through because of something with the screen. But was there any type of, I guess in the back they had some kind of award or something. Did you guys tape anything for later or?
Saturday night?
No.
Yeah,
no,
this past
no,
Saturday.
But that's a contractual situation at the moment, and when any present contracts expire, then we'll do everything we can, obviously, to help the NWA promote a show later on. We've already talked about it, where whether it's pictures of Gordon or T-shirts of Gordon or whatever we can do to help promote the event, then we will do it. So it was nothing to do with them or anybody forgetting anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply contractual agreement at this point in time.
Excellent. And Rich or Tim, did you guys have any comments you wanted to jump in here?
Oh, yeah. Ma'am, your father was an icon to me at 6:05 starting the very first week. And I was very fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play that role. Just ripped him off at every turn. I mean, I pierced six ball bits and remains to be seen. And growing up in Griffin, Georgia, the home of Sports Palace, a place that he would say every Saturday night, coming up tonight, Georgia Championship Wrestling will be in Griffin, Georgia, Griffin Sports Palace, bell time is 8 p.m., one night, and I believe he only appeared there one night because I understand that your father wanted to be home on Saturday night and flew in, did TV, and turned around and came right back.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about how humbled he would be by this. I'll never forget this as long as I live because I was in the arena when it happened. Gordon Sully, without the announcement of I'll be in Griffin tonight, came up out of the portal and literally said, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but he said, what an honor it is to be in a place that I've announced great wrestling to be at on many, many occasions, and thank you for having me, and turned and walked back down to the portal. And it was like a church moment. It was a total humbled crowd just to see this television icon, and that's exactly what he is. And you know, they can induct him every year from here till infinity, and at least at the very minimum, the WWE should have a Gordon Solie Award given away every year.
That's a nice idea. Thank you.
And in this Hall of Fame induction, that's what a presence he was, and he could make the most mundane seem the most intricate just by his just outstanding knowledge of the muscle system of the human body or the skeletal system of a human body. And in a way that Harry Carey could talk about a long-time viewer from, wherever, during a low part in a match, when the high spot happened, he could cut back to it and make it sound exactly like it was something very important. And that drew everybody in. The biggest star of Georgia Championship Wrestling and the biggest star of Florida Championship Wrestling and the biggest star of any show that Gordon Solie ever appeared on, without ever being it or without ever admitting to being it, was Gordon Solie. He made stars, but he was the star.
That was his job. Thank you very much. But he saw that as his job. His job was to put the guy over next to him. You know, I mean, that was, if he could do that, if he could get the people to either, you know, the heel or the baby face or whatever, he that was his job, and he loved doing it. My dad was a great storyteller to begin with. I mean, he could tell a story, and, I mean, you'd think for sure it was really happening, and he'd look at you and go, I'm just
kidding. Well, in the just to bring another name that just passed, Jim McKay,
yeah.
Who called it all, baseball, horse racing, skiing,
the Olympics,
pleat spinning from Madison Square Garden. He took us around the world. He took us to see me as a little boy. I'd never been to Acapulco, but he took us there to watch cliff diving. I always thought that Gordon Solie could have called any sport and made it interesting because he got that involvement from just preparation.
One of the biggest thrills ever was to, Pam and I worked 1 year at Golden Gate Speedway in Tampa.
That was something all the kids ended up working there at least once or twice.
We worked in the concession stand on Friday and Saturday nights and selling Pronto Pups and hamburgers and soda. But anyway, Gordon, and this was said at his eulogy by Tom McEwen, and I had already, Pam and I had discussed it, but I thought that Gordon actually was better at calling stock car races than he was at calling professional wrestling. He
Much
was
better.
Amazing. You'd have the roar of the engines, you'd have the crowd noise, and his voice still penetrated all that at the racetrack. And to sit there and with race cars going around, and you can hear him rattling off all the cars in front, and he could follow the rest of the race and still keep on. I mean, it was incredible to listen to him call a stock car race.
He used to, when I was a little kid, I would tag along behind him to the races, especially the races, and he would tell me, close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Just stand there. I just want you to listen. Just listen. You hear them. They're shifting gears. I mean, and that's how he was. I mean, he would tell the story, and I would stand there with my eyes closed and listen to it, and you could actually see it in your head.
And that's what, the greatest, Gordon Solie, had the voice of radio and could paint that picture. And that's what the great ones could do. They could paint that picture. Didn't matter whether you could actually see it or not.
No.
But he visualized it for you.
Yes, exactly.
And I consider myself so lucky and so fortunate to have him as one of my tutors from a distance.
It's
a pleasure to talk to y'all.
Thank you.
Eddie Graham told Gordon when he started that he said, I want you to call the wrestling moves and whatever's going on in the ring, call the play-by-play, and pretend that you are talking to a bunch of blind people. That was Eddie's advice and the way he wanted Gordon to do it.
Hey, guys.
Cowboy said, treat it like it's your paycheck.
Exactly. Guys, I am back online. Apparently, it's not just our show, but all the shows on the server are down as far as bells and whistles, but we are still on the air and streaming live, so For anybody that's just tuning in, we apologize if we can't get the calls in like we promised tonight. But guys, I did want to say I was while I was trying to work on that, I was hearing everything everybody had to say, and I've definitely got to echo what Tim said about Gordon. And you know, looking back, I was when the WWE or WWF at the time came in and took over the TBS time slot and essentially, you know, bumped Gordon off for a period of time. You know, I know they came back, but it was just real hard to watch that product at that time because it just wasn't the same quality. But that's essentially about the same time I lost interest. I tried to watch the nighttime show on Saturday with the other announcers, and I just couldn't get into it. Gordon basically spoiled me.
He got letters from people, and they were amazing. Like a lady wrote to him from Kentucky, and she said they were watching him on the Saturday morning show, the new version, which was Championship Wrestling from Georgia. They changed the name.
Right.
And like this lady wrote in and said, you know, a lot of TV sets are turned off now on Saturday night here in our part of the country.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, guys, the other night you said something before we wrap up. There's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. Of course, we know you're working on another book. This is, I guess, more biographical, but, you know, I got to say that for anybody that did not get the book you guys put out a couple years back called Something Left Behind, you got to get this because this is Gordon, you know, there's poetry, there's just random writings, you know, stories, great stuff. And I got to tell you, I've read through it about three or four times. And
thank you.
It's a very well put together book, and you guys were telling me the other night that you were getting some criticism. Around the time the book was coming out, from some people, I guess essentially saying that you guys were I guess trying to bank off of the name or something. But you know, give your perspective to anybody that might have felt that might be listening to this.
First of all, my dad left all of his writings to me, and he said, "You'll know what to do with them." And prior to that, he had talked about writing a book, and he had a contract, somewhat of a contract, with Random House. And his wife died. When Smoke died, he just lost all interest. He didn't care. And I kept saying, "Dad, you got to do this. These are beautiful. These writings are gorgeous." I mean, for me as a teacher, I shouldn't say gorgeous, but they're so in depth and they're so whoa. I mean, his 7 days from Rome is like could fit today. And he just said, I don't want to. And then he started to think about, I'll do it. And then he said no. And it was back and forth. And his health was failing at the time. And so when he left them to me, he gave them to me ahead of time, and he said, "You'll know what to do with them, Pam. Put them out there." So if someone wants to say that, you know, first of all, it's my dad.
Exactly.
You know, and I did it to honor his wishes and to honor him.
And the biggest thing, I think, was not that... it was a promise to a dying man,
mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest criticism that came along wasn't about the fact that we did it, was the fact that most people want to hear backstage stories, they want the stuff behind the scenes, and that's more of what we're doing now, that's his biography.
Right.
That book simply was
with
short stories and poetries with a lot of photos mingled in.
Pam, he's your dad, and you did the right thing, but speaking for everybody that's listening, everybody that's ever visited our website, everybody that's ever bought a ticket to watch wrestling, he's our announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for sharing that with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now, you know, a lot of people have asked about, well, the second book, and I'm like, well, you know, my dad was no angel. I mean, he had another side. and this is not to offend anyone, you know. I mean, it's Tom McEwen said it best. He goes, "Pam, you tell the good with the bad, you know, and that's how your dad would have done it." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. And I learned so much about my dad by doing this second book. I mean, I learned through the first one, but the second one, it was like, oh, my goodness. Even his own sister's going, "Well, I didn't know that," you know. So, I mean, there's some really good things that have come out. And there's been a lot of closure, a lot of healing, and I think that's important. And everybody has their own story, and everybody has their own beliefs. But this is not this tell-all, you know, dirt and grime thing. I mean, this is a biography, the way it's supposed to be written.
Well, it will
open some people's eyes on a few things for sure.
Right. Well, the first book, you know, in my opinion, more or less, and I believe I pretty much wrote this in my review, is it gives you an insight into Gordon, you know, the person, and you get to feel like you knew him a little better. And obviously the biographical story will be full of stories from various people that spent time with him over the years, among other things. What is the timeline on the book? Is this something that's coming out soon? Is this a couple years away?
Mm-mm.
I would say that hopefully within 60 days it's done, and then it'll take a couple months to publish, so you're looking at seeing it this year.
Okay, great. Well, we'll look forward to having you guys back on for that, definitely.
Absolutely.
I wanted to jump in and say that for the younger fans that are listening, I mean, thankful to YouTube.com and WWE 24/7, this voice will continue on indefinitely.
Exactly. Well, guys, thank you definitely for joining us tonight. Great pleasure in meeting you the other night and having you on tonight, and we look forward to having you again.
Look forward to talking to you again, too.
All right, guys, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I spend countless hours on YouTube watching the old Gordon Solie, or listening to the old Gordon Solie and watching the videos and promos that he did. I mean, it just, you could sit there for hours.
Right. Well, obviously, we're down on time, and we don't have any bells and whistles with us. Apparently, the entire Blog Talk Radio server is down. So we're just going to, I guess, call it a night. You guys got any closing thoughts before we...
Wait a minute. Before we get our closing thoughts, we've got tickets going on sale everywhere, Rich. Let's talk about that real quick. TNA tickets go on sale for Fayetteville, North Carolina. The event on July 25th. TNA will be in Kenansville, North Carolina on the 27th. These tickets all go on sale this Saturday. WWE will be on sale for Savannah, Georgia. The event on July 12th, they will be in Augusta, Georgia on the 13th of July. WWE tickets go on sale for Springfield, Missouri on the 19th. Richmond, Virginia for August 11th. And WWE tickets go on sale for events in Spain taking place in September. They're going to be in Madrid, Barcelona, and can't remember the other city, Spain. Which school in Spain, guys? You know that? The University of Madrid.
Very cool.
All these tickets are on sale coming up this Saturday. So TNA and WWE tickets available throughout the Southeast. Y'all, I got a closing thought. I really have enjoyed the last, 26 minutes just speaking with them. I really missed an opportunity not being at Phillips with y'all.
Yes, you did. And by the way, when you were in Spain in school, did they teach you that capital M, capital A is Missouri?
Oh, it's Missouri. No, because I was in Spain.
Okay.
Capital M, capital A would be the beginning of Madrid.
Well, my closing thoughts for the week, and it was one heck of a week. I mean, from the event in Atlanta, it just continued on. Obviously, thanks to Randy Harris for jumping on with us, and I continue to look forward to seeing him again in person and performing, working with him. And the next event that we all get together again, Tim, you definitely need to be there, thanks to the Solis. And also, one last plug for Tifton, Georgia tomorrow night. Tifton, Georgia, the details at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
That's right.
Next week, guys, I'm not going to be here next week. I am going to attempt to call in from one of the most famous landmarks in professional wrestling. Can you guess where I'm going to call in from?
Let's see, Reunion Arena, Dallas, Texas, Madison Square Garden, New York.
No, I'm going to call in from the piling, which constitutes the steps going down from La Vila in Panama City, Florida, where everybody's favorite pimp/sex slave owner, Hardbody Harrison, was thrown down by the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, on the first Nitro, also the scene of the last Nitro. I'll be in Panama City all next week vacationing, but I hope to give a call in.
Next of the year there, Tim. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
And enjoy it, y'all.
Have a good vacation, and guys, again, thanks for the show. And
Georgia Wrestling History doesn't give paid vacations, so maybe next year.
Yeah, yeah, maybe next year. We want to thank Randy Harris and, of course, Bob and Pam Allen for joining us tonight, and Larry for calling in earlier. And we will definitely be here back here next week, and we hope the bells and whistles are working for the entire show that next time.
Don't forget Sleepy Steve and Jen Holbrook also.
Exactly, Sleepy Steve and Jen Holbrook for all their work. We'll see you next week.
Good night, guys.